Are you willing to be loaded one step further or backs breaking? Just in case we've attached any over-attached reality to these terms, we're now going to do the tree Nish for Baba. The three non-own beings. So this is where Yogacara touches base in Majjhimaka, because it's presented something that's quite positive and definite. It wants to make sure that that's not interpreted in terms of ultimate realities, as it were. The early Buddhists, well, Buddhists throughout, especially in India, were extremely sensitive to the possibility that what they were saying might be interpreted in terms of ultimate metaphysical realities, particularly because they were conscious of the Hindu theories that were developing around them. So they're very, very sensitive to this, and very sensitive to accusations of covert Hinduism, quite rightly. So what are the three Nishvabhavas? Well, it's the emptiness doctrine applied to these three. So, first of all, the Parikalpata is empty, well, because it doesn't refer to anything. You see what I mean? The objects that the Parikalpata constructs, the grasper and the grasped, don't exist. They're completely illusory. So they're empty in that sense. They're not there. The Paratantra is empty in a different sense. It's empty in so far as the dharmas, in technical language, the events, inner and outer, that arise, are momentary and dependent. You see what I mean? Because they have no permanent abiding reality. They are conditioned. They're conditioned arisings. So they are empty of ultimate reality. They're empty of svabhava, empty of own being, empty of Atman. Yeah? If something is dependent, it can't exist in isolation. It can't exist from itself. It must depend upon what produced it. So it can't have some sort of metaphysical ultimate reality. So the Parinishvana. What kind of emptiness is the Parinishvana? Well, the Parinishvana is emptiness. It's the emptiness of the Paratantra, of the Parikalpata. It's the Paratantra's emptiness of the Parikalpata. Do you see what I mean? So, in this way, it sort of sounds quite simple, doesn't it? We seem to have got away with it rather smoothly. The Yogacara, which is concerned to give us positive spiritual framework, makes sure that that positive spiritual framework is not interpreted in metaphysical ultimates. And it shows that the realities that it's posited are not ultimate metaphysical realities. Parikalpata is absolutely empty because it just doesn't refer to anything. It's an illusion. The Paratantra is empty because it's a stream, a flow of dependently arising events, inner and outer. And the Parinishvana is the fact that the Paratantra is empty, and especially empty of the Parikalpata.
And is there any overlap with the Vaishnavita?
Not directly. No doubt you could work something out. I'll leave you to do that. Yeah, because it's a different universe of discourse. It's a different stable, so it's not concerned to make correlations with Majjhimaka, but it is very sensitive to the fact that Majjhimaka has really set the gold standard for Buddhist metaphysics. I think that's quite important to recognise that from the point of view of strict metaphysical analysis, you can't really go further than Majjhimaka if you're being absolutely strict about meanings of words and so forth. But you've got another kind of philosophy in Buddhism, which is more like saying, think of it like this. It's not really how it is, but think of it like this. And those who speculate in that sort of way, or present in that sort of way, are concerned to say, that's not in conflict with Madhyamaka. Yes, Madhyamaka is, it's the truth. But given that, let's, you know, think about it like this. And so in the end, the Yogacara is concerned to take the concepts back and dissolve them in Shunyata again.
What's the use of thinking of it like this? Like, what's the price
of thinking? For goodness sakes, a bit late for that question.
Just presenting these as things to reflect upon.
These, you mean?
These concepts. You
know? These concepts in particular, these epistemological ones, yeah.
Or is it more to give people a model to work with in everyday life? Or are these things for reflection upon one's experience?
Right, yeah. Yeah. Interestingly enough, I think there's two ways you could answer that. One is, I think you could answer it, as it were, historically. And the other is you could answer it more in practical, immediate terms. Historically, I can't be sure about this, but my impression is that the like all Buddhist schools, the Yogacara was constantly concerned to found itself in preceding teachings. So this is the Yogacara's response to the two truths of Madhyamaka, if you see what I mean. So they're trying to say, this is how you work out our doctrine in that context. But I think that I could then say that what this does for me is clarify that enlightenment does not mean the suspension of experience. There is a flow, but that flow is viewed in different ways. I used to find this a lot when I was teaching first. I don't know whether it's still common, but people would hear what you were saying about enlightenment as suggesting that what happened was suddenly, you know, brilliant white light flared on and then the lights went off, if you see what I mean. That was that, and that... you know what I mean? That everything just sort of disappeared, and or that alternatively the kind of matrix possibility, which I thought was a diabolical misinterpretation of Yogacara, but that's another question. You know, the idea that you kind of the reality that you're living in is one that a computer has created for you, and the real reality is different. Do you see what I mean? So that's the way you tend to think about enlightenment and so on, that suddenly it's all going to be very different. There's either going to be, I don't know, everybody's going to be a fairy or, well, that's, do you know what I mean? There's something sort of radically different about the very appearance of things. And it may be that, you know, you see things distinctly because you're actually paying attention to them and you're not blinded and so on. But essentially, insofar as you've got a body, you've got sense organs, you've got a brain box that processes the information in a particular way, it's not going to all be suddenly totally different. And that's, I think, the point that this illustrates very clearly. The problem is to do with not with experiencing, but with relating to that experience in a particular way, in a way that leads to and is grasping. That's what I get from this.